But take your Bibles, if you will, 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Title of tonight's lesson, God's Word Is. God's Word Is. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 15 down through verse 17. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Do you think it's important to teach our children the Word of God?
Yes.
Continuing, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Do you think Satan's desire is to keep the Word of God from people? To distort it, to water it down, to make it so that people don't trust it? Folks, he's been using that very same thought right from the very beginning, trying to put doubt into the minds of people about the Word of God. Verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or mature, thoroughly furnished unto what? All good works. Keeping your place here, turn, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we'll read verses 11 through 13. As you know how, we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye should walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so very much that we have in our possession the Bible. May we never take it for granted. May we always realize how important it is. And Lord, may this church continue to shine forth the gospel message. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. If you would, turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Not all will accept the Word of God, the truth. They will not accept it. Chapter 2, verse 10. 2 Thessalonians 2:10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. They will not hear it. They don't want to be bothered. In our society today, there has been put doubt about how reliable is the Word of God. Oh, it was okay for two centuries ago, but it's not okay for 2021. The fact of the matter, we've never needed the Bible more than we need it right now. The greatest Old Testament verse concerning the Word of God, in my opinion, is Psalm 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Folks, the light needs to be on. It needs to be shining so that people know where to go and where to step. Now, I don't know about you, but I live with someone in my house who has never met a light that she didn't believe should be turned on. In fact, I think she believes that light should be on 24/7. I'm teasing her, but right now I can run faster than her because she's a little slowed down by that cast on her hand. But the fact is, I don't mind walking around the house in the dark. It doesn't bother me. I can walk around the church building in the night and not feel the need to turn on lights all over the place. But you know, it really does help though when the light is on so that you don't kick your toe. Isn't that a terrible way to meet the furniture? Is in the dark. Yes. But the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The English word Bible comes from the Greek word Biblos. Biblos, which means book. Book. Dr. William Evans wrote, quote, "The Bible is not merely a book, it is the book. That book that from the importance of its subjects, the wideness of its range, the majesty of its author, stands as high above all other books as the heaven is high above the earth," unquote. In other words, this book is important and it should be considered priceless because it shows us the way of salvation. It directs us in the way to go. It tells us on how we should live. Point number one, God's word is divinely inspired. It is divinely inspired. And I believe it's important that we believe that. Amen. That it is divinely inspired. All scripture is given by God, is given by inspiration of God. In other words, it is God breathed. God breathed. And is profitable. Folks, I can say this. I have gotten things in the mail from different financial situations that want to tell us that they can provide some type of, interest on the money that is given. But let me tell you this. The Word of God is profitable not only for today, but for eternity. God's Word will never pass away. Not one tittle, not one dot. It is profitable for doctrine or for teaching. You know, I have found through the years that some people will not be taught. I remember coaching the church softball teams for many years, and there were certain players, you couldn't tell them anything because they knew it all. And they would make the same mistakes over and over and over again. But the Word of God is profitable for doctrine or for teaching, for reproof or for rebuking. Wait a minute. I don't want to be rebuked. In fact, if I were to ask you to raise your hand, how many of you like being rebuked? I don't think any of us would raise our hand. None of us would say, well, yeah, tell me what I'm doing wrong. But it's profitable for doctrine and for reproof, for rebuking and chastisement. You know, I remember when my dad would say this, "This is going to hurt me more than it hurts you." Do you know what? I never believed him. Never once. I was the one that was doing the suffering. You know what they say, do the crime? You do have to pay the price. But it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. Other words, correcting. Correcting. Now, I remember when I went camping with Brother Watke's school, and the name of the camp just flew out of my head. Spring Hill. And we were taught about walking from point A to point B, and the importance of seeing a tree down over there and walking towards the tree. Because all of us, know it or not, one leg is shorter than the other. And if you're not paying attention to where you're going, you will go where? In a circle. That's why it's so important if you're out in the desert or wilderness, find a spot and walk to it. Walk to it. See, there are times that we need our course altered, we need to get back on the right road. The Bible tells us that we are to keep the old paths so that they will direct us on where to go. What's happening in our world today is we're wanting to cut off the old paths and we want to go in different directions, and it's creating issues down the way for everyone. So it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, for training. Can I tell you this? We need men and women who want to know the Word of God. When I was in Bible college, one of my professors regularly said this: if all you ever learn about the Bible is what you learn in Bible college, you will leave this school very ignorant. Because you need to know more than just what you get in a Bible college or even in Sunday school. You need to read the Word of God even on your own. It's why we have devotional books, so that you can be stirred in the right direction. The human authors of Scripture were inspired by God. The Holy Spirit moved and guided them in such a way that what they wrote, they can rightly be called the Word of God. It can be called that because they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Again, Evans writes, quote, "Inspiration, then, as defined by Paul in this passage, is the strong conscience in breathing of God into men, qualifying them to give utterance to truth. It is God seeking through men, as though God spoke every single word of it with his own lips." And can I tell you this? That if God inspired it and he had it written down, he can preserve it. And he can make it so that we still have it today and we don't have to doubt it. Take your Bibles now to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but" what? "Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." This passage teaches that holy men of God wrote the Scripture when moved to do so by the Holy Spirit. Ponder that term, holy men. Gentlemen, what if we lived in that period of time and God was looking for a man that he could use? Would we have been a candidate? Holy men of God. Do you think the United States of America needs holy men? And how about holy women? See, we need holy men and holy women in our country today. And one of our problems is that at one point in time, our country was being formed and led by men that believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, that believed in the God of the Bible. And today we have men and women leading our country that know nothing about the Bible, that know nothing about attending church. Don't you think our president should go to church every Sunday? Every Sunday. Now, he may not go to the church I would attend, but don't you think that it would be an example to our people if he made it known? You know, we've had presidents that taught Sunday school. We've had presidents that knew the Scriptures well enough to quote them. What we need today are men and women who will do the same thing. Note that at the same time, the writer's style, personality, and experience were not overshadowed. God used men who then wrote in the way that they talked. Point number two, God's word is authoritative. When you speak with authority, people will listen. The author of Scripture is rooted in the character of God, who knows everything and cannot lie. Now, I'm not going to ask you if you've ever lied, but I would dare say that everyone in this room has lied at least once this month, this year. You know, have you ever said something and you said, "Well, why did I say that? Wow." But God cannot lie. Why would he need to lie? He is, after all, the creator of the universe, and he knows everything. The inspired word of God is authoritative in everything it addresses, including science, history, geography, and matters of faith and practice. For years, they have said, well, certain things found in the Bible cannot be true because we can't find evidence of it. And then later, they dig up the city where the Bible says it was. They find things just the way the Bible says, like that rabbits chew the cud, that the earth has a circle. We find that the Word of God is true. Number three, God's Word is without error. I have often wondered what it must be like to be able to preach a whole sermon without making at least one mistake. In fact, I'd be glad just for one mistake, but without error. Since every word of Scripture is inspired of God or breathed out, and since God is perfect and cannot make mistakes, it follows that it is impossible for the Scriptures to be in error. Paul told Timothy, you've known the Scriptures from a young child, and they will show you the way of salvation. So if children are not being taught the way of salvation, it's going to be hard for them to come to know the Lord as Savior. Because the majority of people get saved as children, as young people. The older you get, the harder it is to lead someone to the Lord. They're set in their ways. They believe they already know everything. They don't want to change. But thank God when they do. I still remember the Sunday morning service when an older gentleman, now I was just a teenager at that time, so most gentlemen were older than me, but he went right over the pew to get to the platform so that he could get to the altar and kneel down and pray to accept Christ as a Savior. He was so excited about it. You know, the thing is, the Word of God is necessary. And it is very necessary to see it so that people come to know the Lord as Savior. In conclusion, since the Bible is divinely inspired, authoritative, and without error, it should be believed. It should be believed in all that it teaches, obeyed in all that is that it requires. It should be believed in what it teaches. It should be obeyed in all that it requires and trusted in all that it promises. We can believe the promises of God. But the decision is ours, isn't it? Can I ask you a question? Now, don't try to ponder who was here this morning in the morning service. But do you know there are people that come to our services regularly that only believe parts of the Scriptures? There are churches that preach evolution, that God used evolution. Did God use evolution? Not according to the Bible. The same God that has John 3:16 that sent his son is the same God that created the universe. And so we can either believe it or not. But if we do not believe it, it's to our own suffering. Psalm 119 verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Many times people don't want to come to church because they don't want to hear the Word of God and the conviction that they will be under when they hear it. Someone has well said, God's Word keeps us from sin, and sin keeps us from God's Word. How important it is that we realize that people need the Word of God. That's why it's important to encourage them to come and to be involved in the house of worship. For by the hearing of the word, people will come to know the Lord as Savior. Shall we stand together? I believe it's very important that we trust the Lord, that we trust his word. 301 is our invitation song tonight, only trust him. Folks, you can trust the God of the Bible. You can trust the Lord of the Bible. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you would bless this invitation time. Bless those who are watching online. We ask, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would move and convict and that thy will would be done. And we ask it in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.